Hello and welcome to Sound Body, a weekly program of information on health topics and ideas that can help you live life to its fullest. I'm Louise Craig. We look to the start of a new year for new hope and ideas in the same way we ooh and awe over baby humans and animals. We see the potential ahead with none of the tired old flaws that come over time. Full disclosure, I am a new puppy owner, deep into the head-over-heels oxytocin-induced love fest of watching a tiny, beautiful new creature explore its surroundings and accept love with joy and no baggage. But for whatever reason, I'm sticking with the age-old idea of looking ahead at a new year to the medicines and procedures that are coming along to change healthcare. We start with an article from Business Insider written by Aaron Brodwin and published on November 24th, 2018. And the title is, it's a long one, A Superstar Ex-Facebook and Google Exec is Trying to Upend a $24 Billion Industry with Devices That Spot Disease Sooner, and She's Already Testing It on Animals. Former Google and Facebook executive Mary Lou Jepsen was in her 20s when she went home to die. What began with terrible headaches developed into fatigue so severe she had to use a wheelchair. She'd lost control of movement in half of her face. It took several months and a handful of doctors before someone recommended that Jepsen get an MRI, a procedure that lets clinicians peek inside the brain, but that can cost thousands of dollars and is performed exclusively on a 2-ton machine in a special room, often at a hospital. The pricey devices use radio waves and strong magnets to create pictures of organs and structures inside the body. Thanks to Jepsen's MRI, she was diagnosed with a deadly brain tumor just in time to save her life. Jepsen's brush with death drove her to create a startup called Open Water. Its mission is to make portable, miniature imaging machines that everyone can afford. Machines that she dreams will one day harbor the power to do everything from detect tumors in an organ to allow for brain-to-brain communication. If it works, her technology could disrupt the MRI market, where patients spent roughly $24 billion a year on scans, according to an estimate from healthcare research firm The Advisory Board Company. Open Water's existing technology uses a combination of infrared, cell-penetrating laser beams plus two chips, one a camera and one ultrasonic, to look inside the brain and body, Jepsen explained to Business Insider in an interview on the sidelines of a conference held by media group Techonomy in Half Moon Bay, California. The company is currently performing experiments on rats with prototype versions of its technology at a lab space in the Bay Area, said Jepsen. Already, the images they're able to create are more accurate and better defined than what you'd see with an MRI, she claimed. Although she has not yet offered a public demonstration of the technology, the company's investors and board of directors suggest strong scientific potential. Jeff Huber, the vice chairman and founding CEO of $1.6 billion cancer-detecting Silicon Valley startup Grail, serves on Open Water's board of directors. Brooke Byers, a founding partner of venture capital firm Kleiner Perkins, which has funded Genentech, is an Open Water investor along with Nicholas Negroponte, the co-founder of the MIT Media Lab, and Michael McCullough, who directs the Evolution and Human Behavior Lab at the University of Miami. Jepsen's ultimate goal is to get her product in people's homes, where they could be used to observe the effects of a medication in real time or help monitor the progression of a disease like cancer. I want everyone to be able to buy these machines in the drugstore next to the blood pressure cuff, Jepsen said. Jepsen pitched her project to tech giants Google and Facebook before deciding to strike out on her own. She said the CEOs of each company expressed an interest in the idea at first, but ultimately had her focus on other projects in virtual reality and augmented reality. Her roles at both companies were high-level positions that were heavy on engineering. At Google, Jepsen worked as the head of the company's display division within its secretive X division and reported directly to Google co-founder Sergey Brin. At Facebook, Jepsen served as the company's executive director of engineering and the head of display technologies at its virtual reality arm, Oculus. But Jepsen, an engineer with a PhD in optical sciences from Brown University, wanted to do more. "I like video games just as much as the next person," Jepsen told Business Insider, "but their capacity to help people and make a difference is limited," she said. So last summer, Jepsen announced she was leaving Facebook to create her own company called Open Water. Last year, Jepsen described Open Water's device as a new imaging technology that could help cure diseases and could even be worn like a hat to see inside the brain. Such a device could help researchers better understand complex organs like the brain, where some aspects of mental illnesses like depression can currently be observed using an MRI. "For the process to work, timing is everything," Jepsen explained. "The ultrasonic pings are emitted first so that they arrive at the same time as the infrared light, which is turned on shortly after. The light changes color as it moves past various structures in the brain or body. Kind of like how the police siren on a cop car changes pitch as it drives past you. And the resulting image, which is produced through a combination of the light and the ultrasonic pings, will be able to detect the presence of a tumor," Jepsen said. Jepsen's company is also working with a nonprofit organization called the Focused Ultrasound Foundation, based in Charlottesville, Virginia, to explore the possibility of someday using the technology for non-invasive surgery using sound waves, she added. On Monday, Jepsen described one potential scenario for someone with breast cancer. First, her mini MRI could likely diagnose the disease earlier because MRIs have 10 times the resolution of mammograms, she said. Currently, MRIs are recommended in addition to mammograms only for women with a high risk of breast cancer. But in addition, if the device could be worn, for example, as part of a bra, it could be used to monitor the disease and any tumors, allowing the patient and her clinician to decide on surgery only when it was medically necessary, such as if the tumor began to grow. You don't have to biopsy if you can monitor, Jepsen said. And we move now to a section from the October-November 2018 AARP magazine, and this is titled New Hope: Medicines and Procedures That Are Changing Healthcare. And the overall section is written by Sari Harar. We start with a life-saving cardiac pump. Belinda Smith needed a new heart. Congestive heart failure had reduced the pumping power of her own ticker by 90%. "I needed a heart transplant, but I couldn't wait that long," recalls Smith, now 50, a mother of four from Dayton, Ohio. "Doctors gave me less than a year to live. New hearts aren't easy to come by. There are about 4,000 people awaiting transplants, but just 2,500 donor hearts are available each year in the U.S. For people like Smith, though, there's new hope, a battery-powered implant that plugs into the wall at night. Smith's life was saved by one of these left ventricular assist devices, LVADs, which doctors installed in her chest in 2017. "It does the work my heart can't do, pumping blood out into my body," Smith explains. "I can do almost everything I did before. I just can't get the cord and batteries wet. I have a waterproof bag for taking a shower, but I can't go swimming." Her LVAD is the size of a D battery and weighs less than a pound. During the day, it runs on a battery pack attached to a power cord extending through her chest wall. "I carry two tote bags whenever I leave my apartment, with my controller, extra batteries, a car charger, and an extra pump. If the batteries ever run out, I've got less than 5 minutes to plug in new ones," she notes. When I'm going to sleep, I plug myself into a wall outlet with a 25-foot power cord. LVADs pump blood continuously. Users don't have a heartbeat. You have to wear a medical alert bracelet so EMTs don't think you're dead or try to give you CPR. That would crush the pump, Smith says. But I can hear the sound of the pump when I put my head on my arm at night. It purrs. Smith hopes to get a spot on a heart transplant list soon, but for thousands of adults with heart failure, an LVAD is their future. The Food and Drug Administration last fall approved the first LVAD as a destination therapy for indefinite use for people with end-stage heart failure who aren't candidates for a heart transplant. For more and more people, LVADs are a long-term option, says Smith's cardiologist, Haraprasad R. Vanguru. For someone with severe heart failure whose one-year survival odds are as low as 25%, this is a new lease on life. And we have a spectacular step. Marge Jacks battled non-Hodgkin's lymphoma for 15 years, but the white blood cell cancer kept coming back despite multi-drug chemotherapy, cocktails, liquid radiation, and even stem cell therapy. It returned every 2 years. In 2014, I had lumps all down my neck because there were tumors in my lymph glands, says Jacks, now 63. I cried as I drove to see my oncologist in Philadelphia. Then he told me there was something new to try. Jacks became one of the first American adults to get CAR T-cell therapy, the nation's first personalized cellular cancer treatment, for her specific cancer, diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. The treatment removed some of her T-cells, which are the immune system's frontline killers. The cells were then genetically modified to produce a receptor that will attach to cancer cells and attack them. Miraculously, Jack's cancer went into remission. Slowly, the tumor shrank. Blood tests and scans showed it was gone, she adds. Even better, it has not returned, and she is back to enjoying life. Throughout my years with cancer, I never felt sorry for myself, but it's a rocky road, says this single mother and project manager from Collegeville, Pennsylvania. Humor, family, and friends got me through all this. Today, the groundbreaking treatment is available commercially. In October 2017 and May 2018, the FDA approved two CAR T-cell drugs for patients such as Jack's, whose diffuse large B-cell lymphoma doesn't respond to other treatments. Experts expect that these drugs, which are covered by Medicare, will be deployed against a variety of cancers in the future. This is a spectacular new therapy, notes Jack's oncologist, CAR T-cell researcher Stephen J. Schuster, director of the lymphoma program at the University of Pennsylvania. It's saving the lives of people whose prognosis was measured in months, not years. In studies, 50% respond, and about 1 in 3 are long-term disease-free survivors. We have stroke ER on wheels. Michael Smith, now 73, was spreading peanut butter on an English muffin one morning last January when he says, "Suddenly, I couldn't let go of the knife, and my mouth sort of hung open." Recognizing that he was having a stroke, his wife, Mary, called 911. As emergency medical technicians ruled Smith out of his Phoenix condo on a stretcher, the Barrow Neurological Institute's mobile stroke unit rolled into the condo's parking lot. Smith, a retired architect, describes being wheeled into a miniature emergency room right there outside his building. "The stroke team checked my vitals, did a CT scan of my brain, conferred with a neurologist, and administered a clot-busting drug all in less than an hour. Their fast action is the reason I've recovered so well." During a stroke, treatment access time is essential. 1.9 million neurons and 7.5 miles of nerve fibers in the brain die during every minute of a stroke. Getting treatment within an hour can be the difference between resuming your life at 90% or better capacity and being bedridden and dependent on other people for the rest of your life, explains explains neurologist Michael Waters, director of Barrow's stroke program. But he adds, it's critical to diagnose the cause as fast as possible because administering the wrong treatment could be fatal. That's why hospitals are taking the ER to the stroke victim. 10 U.S. cities have mobile stroke units, but the price tag for these big ambulances is $1 million, plus an estimated $1 million in annual operating costs, sparking a national debate about whether the results are worth the cost. A nationwide study is expected to provide an answer in a few years. Compare it with the long-term cost of a devastating stroke in terms of treatment, long-term care, rehab, and lost wages in someone's peak years of productivity in their 30s, 40s, 50s, or 60s. And I think mobile stroke units will prove their worth, Waters says. Smith agrees. I'm a big fan, he notes. You'd have to work pretty hard to convince me they're not worth the money. Under a tiny column titled Brand New Right Now, marijuana-based drug reduces seizures. An estimated 1 million Americans 55 and older have active epilepsy, meaning they're at risk for a seizure at any time. Now the FDA has approved the nation's first drug derived from the marijuana compound cannabidiol, CBD, for two rare and severe forms of epilepsy, Lennox-Gastaut syndrome and Dravet syndrome, that begin in early childhood. In one recent study, CBD reduced seizures in Lennox-Gastaut patients who were ages 2 to 55. Easing achy joints. On long hikes and weekend trips to Chicago, Linda Kramer, 58, used every trick, from pain relievers to elastic braces and athletic tape to baby her aching knees. I kind of acclimated to the pain, says the nurse, mom of four and grandmother of two from Crystal Lake, Illinois. But then she injured her shoulder and her pain-relieving cortisone shot wore off after a few weeks. I was ready to do more for all my painful joints. Kramer opted for fat injections in her shoulder and knees in the summer of 2017. I wanted to avoid knee replacement, or at least put it off as long as possible, she notes. So I had a procedure to clean up debris inside my knee joints and received the fat injections. And as long as she sticks to the exercise program her doctor prescribed, she has found relief. My shoulder works again and I can swim. I can hike and go up and down stairs with much less pain. I can enjoy life the way I used to. The procedure called Lipogems is one of several on the market that use small amounts of a person's tissue to counter joint pain. Doctors extract bits of abdominal fat, or sometimes bone marrow, wash it and/or blend it, and inject it into achy joints. Small studies suggest it can ease the joint pain of mild to moderate osteoarthritis, the super common wear and tear arthritis, but it's not clear why or how well it works. Fat injections don't create a cushion inside joints and they don't grow new cartilage, explains Brian Cole, an orthopedic surgeon at Midwest Orthopedics at Rush in Chicago, who performed Kramer's procedure. They can't take the place of a knee replacement if you need one. They do reduce inflammation and improve the biochemistry of the joint so you feel better. You will likely have fewer or milder arthritis symptoms and so can be more active. We think that cells in small blood vessels in the fat are acting like pharmaceutical storehouses, secreting growth factors and anti-inflammatory proteins that improve the chemistry of the joint. Adult stem cells called mesenchymal cells may be partly responsible. Welcome relief for tinnitus sufferers. Like snowflakes or fingerprints, the phantom noises that are heard by the 50 million American adults with tinnitus are unique. Some sufferers are tortured by constant buzzing, others by hissing or ringing. For Los Angeles independent TV producer Nick Stein, 65, it's a monotonous, high-pitched whistle that started after a night working in the studio in 2005. When it's really loud, it's really horrible, he says. Stein's mindfulness meditation practice helped him keep his severe tinnitus in perspective, but it wasn't enough for him. In 2017, he began using a sound therapy system that pipes the same high-pitched squealing tone he hears all day into his ears at night via earbuds that he wears while he sleeps. Doubling the sound seems crazy, but the brain is plastic. It slowly becomes habituated, so you notice the sound less and less, Stein notes. After 3 months, my tinnitus receded into the background. I go back to the system periodically to stay habituated. It really helps. Stein used a device called the Levo system, which is adjusted before first use to play a tone that closely matches the pitch and texture of a tinnitus sufferer's unique phantom sound. I worked with my audiologist, so the sound mimicked my tinnitus exactly, Stein says. Research shows that this type of sound therapy helps people react less to their tinnitus and can even make the problematic noise fade into the background. Tinnitus most often results from damage to sound-sensing hairs in the inner ear, which can be caused by sudden or chronic noise exposure or simply by aging. Some medications, such as painkillers and antibiotics, can also cause tinnitus, although the noises usually stop once the medication is discontinued. Nerves connected to the hairs go rogue, transmitting a non-existent sound to the brain, similar to phantom limb syndrome. Habituation therapies help train the brain to pay less attention to the false signals generated by the ear, explains Stein's otolaryngologist Yutong Wang of Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles. What you're trying to do with most tinnitus treatments is to make the sound more tolerable, Wang recently told CBS News. It's very difficult to say that you're going to make the sound disappear completely. Meditation and cognitive behavioral therapy are still the primary options against this as yet uncurable condition, according to the American Academy of Otolaryngology. Stein, who produced the series Border Wars for National Geographic and currently teaches mindfulness meditation to law enforcement officers, says he feels less irritable and more able to focus now that he combines his traditional therapy with occasional Levo treatments. Stress and disruptions in my daily routine, like when I travel, seem to make the tinnitus louder again, he adds. So I'll put my earbuds back in for a couple of nights. Side column on the horizon. Question: what's important to know when it comes to preventing hearing loss? Answer: noise exposures that create temporary problems, such as diminished hearing or ringing in your ears for a few hours afterward, can cause sub-threshold damage to the inner ear. Even though hearing levels seem to return to normal, the damage is permanent, so later in life you may have more difficulty distinguishing sounds. Carry ear protection when you're going out to a concert or sports event, or even the movies. And that comes from Deborah L. Tucci, otolaryngologist and professor of head and neck surgery at Duke University. On the brand new and right now column, camera assists people with low vision. For the visually impaired, everyday tasks such as reading, shopping, and socializing just got easier. The Orcam My Eye 2 is a device that clips onto the arm of your eyeglasses. A tiny camera recognizes faces, written words, colors, and even cash, and transmits the information to a speaker on the unit, which quietly tells you what you're looking at. Just point your finger and it goes to work. And that is Orcam My Eye 2. Treatment aids recovery from cataracts. The 4 million Americans who undergo cataract surgery each year require multiple daily eye drops for up to 6 weeks after surgery in order to prevent infection and inflammation. But starting in early 2019, surgeons will be able to inject a new FDA-approved drop-free alternative called DEXYQ during the procedure, providing long-lasting inflammation protection and cutting out weeks of eye drops. Medications aim to repair damaged ears. Several biotechs are working on drugs to restore lost hearing. Frequency Therapeutics is conducting a phase 2 clinical trial this year of a drug called FX322, which wakes up a type of stem cell that can repair damaged hair cells in the inner ear. Another therapy, which is still in animal studies, would reestablish synapse connections and functional hearing, allowing for more speech clarity, which I clearly don't have right at the moment. We have old drugs, new tricks. What's better than developing new drugs? Discovering that old standbys, already proved safe and effective over the years, can be used in new ways to combat old ills. These are four that may be performing beyond their job descriptions. Viagra to prevent colon cancer. By chemically coaxing blood cells to relax and fill with blood, that's how it counters erectile dysfunction, Viagra has the ability to boost levels of the compound CGMP. This also affects the lining of the intestines in a good way. In one study, mice that drank Viagra-spiked water had half as many polyps, growths that can lead to colon cancer, as those that were given plain water. Vitamin B to avoid skin cancer. For people with a history of basal cell and squamous cell carcinomas, a form of vitamin B3, nicotinamide, can cut risk for new non-melanoma cancers by 23%, Australian researchers report. The American Society for Clinical Oncology called the study the first clear evidence that skin cancers can be prevented using a simple, inexpensive vitamin along with sun protection. B3 helps skin cells repair damaged DNA. Blood pressure pills to cut dementia risk. A study found that subjects who kept their systolic blood pressure, the top number, at or below 120 were nearly 20% less likely to develop dementia than those whose levels reached 140. The most effective blood pressure treatment may be the new triple pill, which combines three proven medications, telmisartan, amlodipine, and chlorothalidone, according to a 2018 paper presented at the American College of Cardiology. And there we have the new hope for the new year. Thank you for tuning in today. Stay well and come back next week for Sound Body for Healthy Living Ideas. This has been Sound Body, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm Louise Craig, and I hope you'll join me again next week for more health updates and information for healthy living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.